Okay, boys, and today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel. We're holding the third line from the top of the Yomid Omar Mar. And the Gemara is quoting the Brice that we learned yesterday. What was the Brice that we learned yesterday? So there were two parts of the Brice. Initially, the Gemara is quoting the Reisha, and another couple of lines, the Gemara will quote the Sefer. And we're talking about a person who was a Mocher, selling a piece of property to a Lokeach. Because the Lokeach was concerned that people might challenge his purchase of the property, he decided to go and tell the Mocher, write out the shtar in the name of the Reish Galusa, so that people would be intimidated to try to challenge the title to this property. But of course he didn't want to give the property to Reish Galusa.
I understand. So all the contract is saying this parcel of land is being sold to the Exilar?
If they're writing it in English, yes. If they're writing it in Aramaic, it would say the Reish Galusa. That's correct.
But then it would belong to the Reish Galusa.
Exactly.
It was the quandary we had yesterday.
And that's the quandary that we're going to repeat now and try to elucidate and explain so we should understand what's going on. So
this is a little bit of trickery. I apologize.
No, you don't have to apologize. We already discussed that yesterday. Okay. We're not recommending that a person should engage in such practices. We are saying what happens if someone does engage in a practice. What is the solution? What is the resolution?
And what is the objective of doing such a departure?
Deception.
Rashi explained yesterday that a person is concerned about challenges to his title on the property. So he figures if it's going to say in the property, in the deed of sale, that this property is being sold to Yankel Smith, then 20 people are going to come by and say that the mocher who sold it to you, he never owned it, and the transfer was not legitimate, and the eidim were not kosher, and this, that, the other thing.
Doesn't that open floodgates and ain't so floodavar if you could always challenge and...
That's what the court system is all about. That's why there are numerous litigators that are getting parnosa from people that are suing others, whether they are for legitimate or illegitimate reasons. This person did not want to have lawsuits, did not want to have judges, did not want to have courts, did not want to have lawyers. He said to the mocher and to the sofer, the person who was writing down the shtar, do me a favor, don't have on it that the mocher is selling it to Yankel Smith, write in the shtar that it's being sold to the Reish Galusa. Anybody that sees that this property belongs to the Reish Galusa, they're not going to ask any questions. The Reish Galusa is quite famous throughout Shas for having henchmen as some of his servants. So people did not want to even get close to the Reish Galusa because they were afraid they'd get hit over the head. So if you're going to write that this shtar, that this property belongs to Reish Galusa, this was kind of an insurance policy. You don't have to worry that people are going to go and challenge the ownership.
So, and then isn't there the basic halacha of like avoiding lying?
This question was already posed today and yesterday by Daniel. And we're going to repeat the answer now the third time. And that is, nobody is recommending this course of conduct. We're saying, what happens if a person were to do all of that? You have Rambam, you have a whole parak dealing with Hilchas Rotzchem. Rotzchem means murder. How can the Rambam even suggest that there would be murder on this world? Because unfortunately it occurs. In fact, even in the Decalogue, there's a reference to Leisirtzach. Why there would be a Havamina? Unfortunately, there are people that are...
But I'm saying, wouldn't the mere fact of lying, which is an Avera, render the contract null and void?
No, because if a person wants to go and convey his property to the Reish Galusa, he has every right to do so.
Okay.
If you decided today that you want to buy a property, but you didn't want to buy in your name, you wanted to buy it in the name of the future President Trump, you have every right to do so. There's nothing illegal with that. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, of course, he doesn't want it to belong to the future President Trump. He wants it to belong to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So we had now two parts of the Braisa. And the Braisa begins, Omamar, on the third line of Kuf Kimul Omer Aleph. Halekech Soda B'Shem Chaveray. The Shem Chaveray we're referring to is the Reish Galusa. Ein Koifen Es HaMoicher Limkor Zimna Achriti. After the closing is over, the Lokeach, excuse me, cannot force the Moicher to go and write out a second shtar in the name of Yankel Smith, the person that actually paid the money for the property. He cannot force him to go and write out a second shtar. Zokti Mora, Pshita, of course. How could you even think that you can force the Moicha to write a second shtar? The Moicha says he wanted it to be written out to the Reish Galusa. Wonderful. You paid your money. I handed over the shtar. The property is yours. I'm out of here. I'm going to on vacation. I'm going to Florida for the next month. You have a problem with the sale. Go and knock your head against the wall. It's not my issue. So, Frege Gemara, the sheet, of course, you can't force the Moicha to go and sell a second time, meaning write out a second shtar, Pshita. Don't allow to say, Moti Omele, may the Yadis Danol and Afshoisha Kilna. I assumed, and you knew, that I was actually buying it for myself. And the reason why I wrote it out to Reish Galusa was Panchaye Ba'almahu Dekabeina. Because I wanted panchai. Rashi said panchai means hatzala. I just wanted to save this property that I don't have to worry about, that somebody else will grab it, take it, and cause problems. So you knew that all of this was intended to be somewhat of a camouflage so that I would be protected. No. But panchai ba'almahu de kabina. The zuzi bechtiva shadin. And you know that I'm not going to go and throw money out into the trash bin for naught. Ela daita de kosov leishtar achrina. And you realize and should have realized from the first moment that it was really for me, even though I asked you to write out the Reish Galusa, and then for you should have realized that I was going to ask you to go and write out a second shtar. None of this should be news to you. You knew what was going on all along. I don't represent the Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa doesn't know me. I don't know him. I only did it to protect my interest in the property. And therefore, you should have realized that after the closing closes, a day later, a week later, I'm going to come to you and say, now please write out a shtar in my name, so that in fact, says Rashi, if the kinder of the Reish Galusa come sometime in the future, and they say, hey, we looked up the land registries, and we see that there's a property here on 91st Street and West End Avenue that's written out to Reish Galusa. What are you doing over here? Get out of the Reish Galusa's property. So therefore, I want you to write out a new shtar. And you could have, should have understood that that would be my request. Come Hashmolon, that if he didn't say anything to Omalei, in Yonah Avdilach Bahadiyahu Dizavzes Lebishmei. In Yonah means, you should work out a deal, or I thought you worked out a deal with that other person that you wrote out in his name, in other words, the Reish Galusa, V'yichnul Choshtar Achrina, and he's going to go and write out a shtar Achrina. So this wasn't, even though I understood, yeah, you're right, from A to Z I understood that you were not buying it in the Reish Galusa's name, you're only doing this as a protective measure to make sure that you keep the property. But then I assumed that you're on good terms with the Reish Galusa, and he's going to write out another deed to you. He's going to write out so it goes to Reish Galusa, Reish Galusa is going to give it to you. I had no idea that you're expecting me to go and write out a second shtar. So therefore, that's the ratio of the price. Don't even think that I'm going to write out a second shtar, since this was not a tanai, this was not a condition of sale. However, continues now the price, and now this is the second part, the sefer, the omaloi almanas. What happens if at the time of the sale, before they closed on the sale, the purchaser says to the mocher, mocher, I want you to write out the first shtar in the name of the Reish Galusa. I want you separately to give me another shtar in my name. So this way you'll have two pieces of paper. If anybody goes and is going to complain that the property is theirs and try to challenge the veracity of the sale and the authenticity of my ownership, ha ha, Reish Galusa. Oh, Reish Galusa, I'm out of here. I'm not going to start up with Reish Galusa. And if the Reish Galusa's children or Yorishim are going to come and be Tovea Mimeni, I'll have my second shtar that says that it was sold to me. So therefore, if he made such a precondition, then the Moicher has to go and write out a second shtar. Because after all, that was the terms, that was the condition of the sale, that you have to give me two separate pieces of paper. So what's the chiddush over here if that was the condition? So tomorrow, let's read the Amalahu, Lesavi Kamei Didi. What's going on is, Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, he didn't, in fact, make an explicit condition, but rather he went over to the Edim that were signing on the Shtar to the Reish Galusa. So the Amalahu Lesavi, he says to the Edim, Kamei Didi, in front of the Mocher. The Mocher is standing there. The Lokeach is not addressing the Mocher. But the Mocher is there and he's listening with open ears, and he is addressing the two Edom. And he says to the two Edom, Chazu, look, The shtar achrina kabeina. You know I'm going to need another shtar. You realize that. Aha. So that's what he said. This ma'ar the same ma'ar thought matzi amalei. Aminishtara mehech the koshaklis mishmei ko amriz. You understood or should have understood that since I said it in front of you and I'm talking to the Edom, I'm going to need another shtar. No, from whom am I going to need another shtar? I'm going to need another shtar from you. I mean, isn't that self-evident by my conversation, by telling the Edom in front of you that I'm going to need another shtar? So aminishtara mehech the koshaklis mishmei ko amriz. I thought that you would figure out that's what I meant. That I need a shtar from Mehech, from that individual, the Kashakas Bishmei, that we're taking it from him in his name, in other words, from the Meicher, Kamras, and therefore you'd understand that on yourself, on your own. Kamash Mulan says the Braisa, to Omalei says now the Mocher, Lahochi Tarchiv Amri Luhu. No, it continues on. Kamash Mulan, the Omalei, Lahochi Tarchiv Amri Luhu, the Edom Kamoch. This is the reason why I told in front of you. Wait, so let me just go back one moment. We started off that this part of the Braisa, the second part of the Braisa says that if he said it befedish almanas, then you have to have then the mocher has to write out a second shtar for him. Frankly more, pshita, says the Gemara. I'll tell you why it's not a pshita. The reason why Litzricha, go back to Litzricha. The omelu chazu, the shtar achrina kabeina. He did not say explicitly to the mocher, I want you to go and write out a shtar. He said to the Edom, I'm going to need another shtar. And he said it in front of the mocher, the seller. Ma'ud is saying, Mamotzi omelei amin ashtara mehech v'kos shaklis b'shmei ko amris. I would have thought that the mocher can go and say back to the lekeach, I overheard that conversation. What I understood from that was that you want the Edom to go and sign mehech from that individual, meaning the Reish Kalusa, the Kishaklis Bishmei Amris, that individual that you are taking the property in his name. So I understood that what you meant is not that I write out a shtar, but that you are going to commission a soifer to write out another shtar, and who's going to sign it? My to Edom, and who's going to agree to it? The Reish Kalusa, after all. We're buying in his name, and he's going to do a further conveyance to you, to the Kech. Kamash Malon, that's why the Braisa says, the reason why I especially said to the Edom in front of you, I could have had a private conversation in the side room. I said in front of you, because I want to have the shtar from you. I'm not interested in going to the Reish Kalusa. Why is he not interested in going to Reish Kalusa? Like we said on the bottom of the Amud Beis of yesterday, lo yakrichu beina v'lo yisil l'saychem beina. The Reish Kalusa is going to tell him, Mister, I'm not interested in your real estate dealings. You want to buy a piece of real estate, gizuntai. You want to sell it, gizuntai. But I have nothing to do with you. Just get out of it. Don't bother me. I have other things to do. So, bottom line, it says, yes. Yes, Rabbi.
Why is it so important for the Moicher not to write Ushtora? Is that an anniversary of Nechsa?
Zelechusa.
It's a Midas Sedom if he doesn't know Yehusa. It's a Midas Sedom. The other guy needs two deeds of sale that he should not write another deed of sale. What does he lose by? Obviously, from the Moris Behalef, that is a big, it's a big deal for the Moicher.
It's a dishonesty. He doesn't want to engage in a deception.
What Barry is saying is, it may not be a great satircha, but maybe this moicher is a real yekka, and he is makbid kikutze shulyud on all of his dealings, that they should be at the highest level of honesty and integrity. He doesn't want to write out two separate documents on one sale.
They contradict each other. I'm selling it to Reish Kalusa. I'm selling it to the lokeach.
Also, when he goes to the registry, what is
there's no
he
registry. Do? It's an informal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no ledger. There's no registry. But he doesn't want it. He doesn't want this. You want to buy it? Buy it. You don't want to buy it? Don't buy it. Leave me alone. I don't want to get involved in your monkey business. Leave me alone. We had a monkey business yesterday.
Exactly. Or 2 days ago. Very good. Okay, so we stop on this. We finished now explaining the Braisa, the Reisha, and the Seifa, and now we go to a real live case. What was the case? Rav Kahana Yov Zuza Akisna. Rav Kahana bought Kisna. Kisna is flax or linen, and he gave money for that Kisna. The Seifa Yaka Kisna. A week later, a month later, Kisna went up in value. Now, Rav Kahana, although he paid the money, Yov Zuza, he did not take possession of it, and he left it with the mocher. He left it with the mocher. And now what did the mocher do? When the mocher saw that the kisna went to mid-price, Zavne Marvati the Kisna. He's not really the Marvati, means the original owner of the Kisna, went and resold this Kisna. Now on the surface, this doesn't sound like an Erlich fellow.
No.
However, Rashi says his intentions were totally pure. He saw that Rav Kahana is a very chosh of a person, and he wanted Rav Kahana to make a quick deal, a quick mint.
Is this like Zachin Adam Shalom before?
Yeah, well, at least in concept, whether it fits exactly within those parameters, one can discuss. But the point is, that's what the mocha's intentions were. They were pure. If you look at the Rashi, it's right next to the Bach in my Gemara. Zavni Marvata the Kisna. It's about 15 lines, 18 lines on the top of the Amid. Almanas Litein de Mayen Shehin Loichel Rav Kahana. The reason why he sold it, so that he would take the money that he receives and give it to Rav Kahana. And therefore Rav Kahana is going to get really a bonanza. He spent $100 to buy the Kisna. He never took possession of the Kisna. And now when he comes to take possession a week later, a month later, whenever, the mocher says, I got good news for you. I was able to find top, top market price for the Kisna. Instead of $100, I give you back $200. Oh, so now you're touching on the issue that the Gemara is going to present in another moment. So now Rav Kahana says, what can I do? Asal kami de Rav. He goes in front of Rav and he says to Rav, do I have any problem? Omalei ma'avid. What should I do? Ezel ishko zuzoi. Can I go and take these monies for myself? Is there an issue? So Rav tells him, omalei. It depends. Ikika zavni amri hai kisna de kahanahu. If when the mocher sold it, he said, I want you to know, wow, 2 days in a row. Yeah.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Exactly. Ikika zavni amri hai kisna de kahanahu. If when the Bale Kisna, that is the mocher who sold it, if he sold it to the lekech, I told him, I want you to know, it's not mine. I'm selling it on behalf of Rav Kahana, Zilchkar. Then you can go and take the money, because you originally owned it, now you sold it, back-to-back transactions over here, Zilchkar, go and take the money, no problem. Viloy, however, if the Bale Kisna, that is the original owner, if he did not disclose that he's doing it on behalf of Rav Kahana, so it sounds like he's just doing it on behalf of himself. And now, what happened? Rav Kahana didn't get the Kisna. He only gave the money. Now you're going to go and give him new money in exchange. V'loi loy tishkoil. Why loy tishkoil? What's the problem? So this is what Brother Barry and Brother Shai have both referred to, the Rashi loy tishkoil mishom ribis, because it looks like a form of ribis. It really wasn't real ribis. It's what we call avak ribis, ribis midrabanan, but it's a form of ribis because a month ago he gave $100. A month later he gets back $200. He never took possession of the kisna itself. It certainly looks like potentially ribis. And therefore says Rav,
who belongs the profit?
That's what the Gemara is talking about. That the Baale Kisna, they intended that the profits belong to Rav Kahana. Can Rav Kahana go and accept those profits? If the mocher told everybody, I want you to know I'm selling Rav Kahana's Kisna, then Rav Kahana gets those profits. If he didn't say anything,
if it's not, who belongs the profit to? If Rav Kahana cannot take the money, who this profit belongs to?
They would have to go to the Baale Kisna, in other words, the original owner. The original owner will have to go and give him back his original money, but he can't give him back a nickel more. He can't give him the kisna because the kisna was resold to somebody else. But he can go and give him the original money that he gave him. He gave him $100 a week ago and gives him back the $100.
Well, Kahana may have no interest in it.
May have no interest.
But if Kahana never made a kinyan,
yes,
then
he made a kinyan.
Rav Kahana made a kinyan. He gave money. He didn't make a mashicha. He didn't make agbah. He didn't make a kin. He gave money.
You have every right to get heated and to get upset. But Lamaisa, according to Havim and the Gemara, he made a full-fledged kinyan.
Okay.
A mishicha, metagbo, metaglila, and everything. But he left it there. He says, okay. I don't have any room in my attic for it or in my silos.
Okay.
You hold on to it. Please look at the second choices. Four lines from the top. You have Zuzia Kisna. Please say it out loud.
Hashas Agadecha to Ari the Moshach Nami.
Oh, the Moshach Nami. Now
the
Alma
who to have a Gabe. It's a Kadon.
You say you just told on. It's good.
Thank you, Tosfos.
Very good. Okay, so that was the discussion. Now the Gemara, the question is, why did we bring this story about Rav Kahana? The reason is, Keman Kibnei Rav L'choira, Rav is passing like the Bnei Marava. Now you're wondering, who are the Bnei Marava? So if you look back at yesterday's Amud Beis, approximately 12 lines from the top of the Amud, at the last word on the line, Machku Allah b'marava l'Rabbi Yochanan Ali b'Rabbi Yehuda. The Bnei Marava were smirking. They were critical of Rabbi Yochanan. Who's Rabbi Yochanan? Who's Rabbi Yehuda? What are we talking about? So you remember yesterday, if you look at the very, very top line, we have a person who's a Mishaleach. He was the capital equity investor, and he called over a sweat equity, and he said to him, "Sir, let's go make a shutfis. I'm going to give you the money. You're going to go and invest it. Hopefully you're going to make a nice investment and we'll both split the profits. What should we buy? I think you should go and buy wheat because I read in the Wall Street Journal that wheat futures really have a future this year. And therefore, if you buy the wheat, Mi'at Hashem, it's going to go up and we're going to make a mint." Instead, what the person did was he bought barley and not the wheat. Or he gave money for barley and he bought wheat. So what's the din? So we had two prices. And the second price said that if the price, in fact, went up, then they can go and split the profits. Even though the shliach did not listen to the capital investor, the equity investor, and he went and switched it from wheat to barley or barley to wheat. That's what Morris said yesterday. And the Morris said that they split the profits. Now, why do they split the profits? So Rabbi Yochanan goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda says, Shini Eina Koina, and therefore it belongs to him. Whatever. Machdolam Marovin and Marovin, they smirked and they said, how is the sale even effective? After all, if you're telling me that the shliach is representing not only himself, but also the equity investor, the person who sold the chitim didn't even know of his existence. And therefore, how is the sale nikna? How was it effective? And the Gemara said, well, isn't that every time you have a shliach, the person doesn't know who the ultimate purchaser is. And the Gemara said, every time there's a shliach shalom kemoisai. So it's as if it's exactly the same person. But here the mishaleach, the equity investor, told him to go and buy dafka wheat, and he bought the barley. So he's not doing the shlichas. If he's not doing the shlichas, how is there even a kinyan? How did the machna know, the moichin know, to go and sell chitim to the ultimate purchaser when I don't even know who the ultimate purchaser is? He thought the purchaser is the guy standing in front of him. That was the smirk of the Bnei Marav. Since Rav used that same term, Rav said, Iki kozavni amri haikisa de kahanahu. If they knew that it belonged to Rav Kahana, then fine, then it was a good sale and everything is great. If not, then you have a problem of ribbis. So says the Gemara, the fact that Rav said that if they knew that it was Rav Kahana, everything is great, zeitzechos, it looks like Kiman Kimne Marava. The Amri, who said yesterday, mihoidil abal chitim shiyak nechitim abal mois. So are you telling me that Rav falls in line with the Bnei Marava? And v'di Gemara, no. Ota mi yoyev Rav Kahana arba v'shokol tamni. Kistam emeluhu da'yaker. Migzal gazlua. The Gemara says, it's a different pshat over here. What's the pshat? Since the Mori de Kisna, the original owners, sold Rav Kahana's Kisna, even though they meant well and they were good intentioned, Ablamaisa, this did not belong to them. It belonged to Rav Kahana. And therefore, what you can look upon this is as a gazlan, a benevolent gazlan, a nice guy, a blamais. If you don't have permission, it doesn't work. And so therefore, says the Gemara, he basically stole Rav Kahana's kisna, and now he's selling it to somebody else. Utanan, and we have the rule, kol gazlan mishalnik yasa gzeila. You have to go and pay according to the original shasa gzeila. Meaning that if he did not reveal that this belongs to Rav Kahana, and he acted as if it was his own, since he stole it, he has to go and pay Rav Kahana back the same amount that Rav Kahana paid originally. How much did Rav Kahana pay originally? $100 for this kisna. You have to mishalm kishas agzela.
Well, the shas agzela is when he sold it to the
Good point.
Very good.
Very good.
So therefore, he should have to go and pay him now 200. The 200. Okay. Very good. Oh, so that's the what's going on over here. So Rashi adds that. Let's take a look at Rashi to see your point. Kiman kimanei merava. A little bit, you know, almost halfway, a third down. Kiman kimanei merava. Hit me up. Is Rav Pasul Mei Marava Kloimer Jamrina Mihaidion Leloichen Shiyatnu Moyesein Lerav Kahana, who told the Leloichen, meaning it's the new purchasers of the Kisna, who told them that they should be Makna their Moyes to Rav Kahana, Lefichak Leizachaban. So it seemed that Rav Paskins like the Mei Marava. Everyone know Otu, my Ichmas Lon Bahakna Osan. Who cares? Bechir Rav Kahana, Osan Lito Moyes, Hoya. The Yitol Ribis, Shenosan Leidale, the Yitol Ches, the Rav Kahana's intention was not to pay 4 and to get back 8. That's not why he entered into this transaction. He wanted to go and get his Pishton. That's why he said, I give you the 4 or the $100, whatever, I want my Pishton. Wherever it was, that's where it was. And it was his. Ve'ilu Shemachru Gozlu Minei. They stole it. Umishalman called Domov be Yoker Kishasa Gzela. Ubishasa Gzela Kvar Hukar. Since when they sold it, they are effectively stealing it. By that time, it's gone up in price. And that's the reason why Lechoyra, he should go and be entitled to get his money. So getting back to the Gemara. So he's saying, Kiman Kimene Marova, Vetzetchitim, Mi Yodiyam. So tomorrow, Arba Tamli. Are we talking about a situation where Rav Kahana gave 4 and he's taking back 8? In other words, that was his deal. I'm paying now 4 and I want to give back 8. Kisna, the reason why the Kisna is now more profitable for Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana hopefully is going to make a nice profit because the Kisna went up. That was just the natural market fluctuations and it went up. Migzul Gozlua, and what happened was that the original Mori de Kisna stole it from Afghana and sold it. And therefore, says the Gemara, I don't even understand what the issue is. Why shouldn't Afghana be able to go and get his double his money since they stole it in Kishas Exela? Isn't that a ribbis situation? The Tumar Amri, Hosam Amonahaba, Vuloy Moshchei Rav Kahana le Kisna. That's why Rashi, that's why Tosis says originally Hashasolka Daitach the item of Moshach. Now the Gemara is changing the facts somewhat. What is the Gemara saying? It's talking about Amonahava. Amonahava means that it was, if you will, like a futures contract, and he told him at the beginning of the season, after Shiyotza Hashar, you can't do this before the Shar goes out, but once the initial market rate comes out, he says to him, I'm giving you money now to be able to go and take Kisna from you in a week, in a month, in 3 months, whenever I'm going to need it. So Amana means he pays money in advance without making a Mashiach. And Rav Kahana did not make a Kinyan on the Kisna. But rather he told him, you'll give it to me according to this Shar that has now come out. Presumably the initial Shar was, Rashi says, a Shar Hazol. It was a lower price Shar. And even says Rashi, Afilish Ein Lazeh, Yesh Lazeh, even if the Moicher doesn't personally have Kisna, but next door and across the street in the other end of town, there are people that are selling Kisna at that rate. So he says to him, I give you $100, and Amir Hashem, in a month from now, in 3 weeks from now, I'm going to come back and pick up the Kisna according to today's rate, which is $5 a bushel, I'll get 20 bushels, even if at that time it's gone up. Makes no difference because you're allowed to do that type of amana. However, Rav Latami,
it's a fixed rate.
It's a fixed rate, correct. For Rav Latami, the Omer Rav. Oh, no, from India, okay. Rav Latami, the Omer Rav, Oysen Amonim B'Peirois, Vein Oysen Amonim B'Damim. You're allowed to go and make such a contract for Peirois, to receive Peirois, even later on, even though they've gone up in price. However, you're now going to make Amonim B'Damim for the purpose of just getting back money. In other words, you're allowed to go over to a person that supplies Kisna at the beginning of the season, says to him, what is the shar? We'll look it up in the papers. The paper says the shar is $5 a bushel. Here, I'm giving you $100, and I don't want to take possession now. I'm not even going and making a mashicha now, because the mocha doesn't even have the kisna to go and make a mashiach on. But rather, I give you the $100 and a month from now, whenever I want, you'll give me the kisna. Even if the price at that time has gone skyrocketing, I won't be able to get according to him. Sure, no problem. They sign a contract, they're done. That, says Rav, is permissible. However, what happens if he goes and gives him money on behalf of the kisna, but he says, you know what, I don't really want to go and take kisna. What I really want is, I'm giving you $100 based on the current market price, the fixed rate. What is that market price today? That is $5 a bushel, and therefore I'm entitled to get 20 bushels for $100. In a month from now, I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to want to have the monetary equivalent, the value of the 20 bushels. What happens if he comes back in a month and the 20 bushels have now gone up from $5 a bushel to $10 a bushel? Then he'll be entitled to go and get $200. He says Rav, if you're going to go and take eventually the kisna, that's no problem. You can go and pay in advance and take delivery later whenever you're ready. But if you're going to go and give money now, and then get at the end of the season, or whenever you want to, get back money and not the kisna itself, that you can't do, because that would be a form of ribis.
Why wouldn't that be a form of profit?
Because you can only do it if you're going to actually get the goods. I pay $100 and I sell this.
You can't do it on paper. You
can't do it on paper.
But ribis only applies to a loan. There's no loan here.
It looks like it.
I mean, you gave him like, money. Well,
people wanted to borrow money and interest, and they went.
Gives him double back. Is that
it's to an me, interesting question?
Like a,
right.
Like a loan.
But it's not. It's not a loan. But it's not. You would agree. It's not a loan, correct?
What if there was no kisna? What's the
yes
hold,
no.
Hold on. What if the crop failed? What if there was no kisna? The crop burns out. There's no kisna. Okay. So he gives him his money back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then effectively, it was a loan. In the absence of actually delivering the goods, then this money was loaned to the seller. The seller had the money, had use of the money for the month. He had the money, could use it, right? Okay, he's supposed to be going kisna. His flax field burns out. Give him back your money. Okay? So but instead he gives him $200 because he had the kisna and it grew and it profited and was scarce and he made $200. It looks like a loan.
Right, just in that slim.
That's it.
Rashi calls it mechzik ribis.
Right.
It has the smell.
Optics of
the yes, optics. Yes, oh, yes. The optics.
Yes.
Oh, that was
that's
great.
That's a big problem because people wanted to borrow money at interest even though it was illegal. Mm-hmm. And they use all sorts of mechanisms. There used to be loans against usury, and people worked around it. People, mm-hmm. it was prohibited to borrow money at 20%.
And then in the Italian city-state, they figured out how to do transactions to get around the churches.
Yeah, exactly. Prohibitions and everything, exactly. Because mm-hmm. people wanted to borrow money. They didn't care that it was illegal. They didn't care. They wanted to. So this is a way of preventing people from making sham transactions and paying and earning interest. That's
and
all.
So we're told.
Now we have crypto.
Okay, Rabbi Sai.
The origin of option contracts was the circumvent usury laws.
Neither borrower nor lender be.
Let's get back to the Gemara. So bottom line is, said Rav to Rav Kanan, not that Rav holds like or held like the Bnei Ma'arava. What he was telling to Rav Kanan is, you have every right at the beginning of the season to put down money as an advance against futures in terms of the kisna. And if you take delivery of the kisna later on, in a week from now, in a month from now, no problem. Even though the kisna may have gone up in value from the original shahr, that's fine.
Great.
I mean, that's why people do investments. They go and put money in. They speculate. They put money into a stock, hoping the stock goes up.
Because there was kisna present at that time.
There had to be kisna present at the time, even if not by the mocher, but somebody in town had to have kisna. So you have a right to go and say, I'm buying the kisna. I'm not taking delivery. I just want to take it in advance. And I'm giving you an advance, and I'll take it at some time in the future. Says Rav, that's totally permissible. However, if you go and give the money now, and then when the kisna goes up and say, you know what, I don't need the kisna, just tell me how much you would be able to sell the kisna for and give me the money instead. Ooh, that's a problem already, because you're giving money, you're taking money, and you never took possession.
So futures contract.
So therefore, Rav said to Rav Kahana, if the purchasers knew that it was your payers, because the mocher said, I'm selling you Rav Kahana's payers, and that's okay. That means that you took delivery and you had an amana for Rav Kahana, and you for the kisna, you took it even though you didn't take possession of it, but it was deemed yours, and then it was resold, so you made money on a purchase and a sale of kisna. That's not a loan. However, if it's so bad a situation that he didn't reveal that it was you, but rather he just sold this kisna, you never took possession of the kisna, so it was an advance for kisna out there in the world. It wasn't a specific kisna. It was an advance for kisna.
Anonymous ownership.
An anonymous ownership, good. And now the mocher decided to go and sell kisna in the name without disclosing the name, but in the intention of Kahana. So Rav Kahana originally gave money. He never took kisna. He's getting back money. Mechzikaribis, and that's why he said, no good.
So futures contracts are illegal, according to the Gus Gemara.
I don't know exactly how futures contracts work.
Exactly that way. You buy something on margin. You buy wheat, 5,000 bushels of wheat.
You never take possession of it.
You never take possession of it. It goes up. It's anonymous, entirely anonymous. Mm-hmm. You sell it before the contract becomes payable in full. Mm-hmm. And
but is there a contract that you're buying?
Yes, this actual contract, the underlying.
It's like stock. In a sense.
Wait a minute, but the stock is not physical. It's a tangible, present item. The wheat futures, for example, it doesn't exist yet. It could be a crop that hasn't even been planted yet.
And then if you're one Jew with another Jew, it might in fact be problematic. You'd have to discuss it with a posek that understands Hilchos Ribbis and knows it in depth.
There was one of those comedy shows once I saw as a kid where he did a future contract where he let it go through and
they deliver cocoa to his front lawn. Yeah,
in front of his yard.
Right. No, it's never intended to be delivered.
Okay.
Barry's been a futures trader, right?
Many decades ago, yeah. I actually was on the floor, yeah.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So we're starting on a brand new Mishnah now. Now this Mishnah is going to tell us about the famous halacha of the Asham Gezelos. What's the din of Asham Gezelos? Asham Gezelos means a person who stole something from someone else. We took him to Bezin and said, hey, Yanko, you stole. No, I didn't steal. Yes, you stole. I didn't steal. And he makes a shvua that he did not steal. And then it comes Elul, and he starts getting all noivis, and he says, uh-oh, what's going to happen? And he's moda umisvada that he stole to go and have a kapara, because not only did he steal, but he also made a full shvua. He has to return Karen, which is the object that he stole, or the value of the object, he has to add a chomesh, that's a fifth, melabar, melagav, a machloikis, and then he has to go and bring a special korban osham, which is called asham gezelos. Good.
He doesn't pay kefil?
He doesn't pay kefil. He only paid kefil in a situation where he did not go
and make a shvur.
Make a shvur. Correct.
Thank you for clarifying.
No problem. So here, mode beknas pator does not apply, or it does?
It does not. The reason why it does not apply is because you need to pay the knas, that is the chomish, not because of knas, but because of kapara. When I have a kapara, and the kapara is only if you have these three ingredients. The return of the chomish, the return of the keren, the addition of the chomish, plus bringing your karm asham. So says the Mishnah, what happens if somebody steals from his chaver a shava pruta? In other words, it's got to be a minimum shava pruta. And he made a shvua that he had not stolen. And now he does tshuva, and he's moida, yes, I owe him the money. Yelichenu achra of the mother, he has to go and give the money to the hands of the nigzal, from the person that he stole it from, even if it means that he has to travel from here to South Africa, to mother. What's the reason? Why is this so important? Because to have a full tshuva, the pasuk says, v'asher hulo yitnenu b'yei mashmasa. If you want to look to the Amud Beis, those of you that have the Torah or HaSholem, the Pasuk says, Oy mikoy, this is Oiz Gimel in the Torah or HaSholem, Oy mikoy la she yishova olav la sheker, v'shilam oise b'roish, right? That means you have to give the b'roish, meaning the keren, v'chamishisav yoisev olav, you have to add a chomish, l'asher hu loy, the one that it belongs to, the nigzal, yet nanu b'yoyim mashmosa, he has to go and give it to him personally when he's doing tshuva. And therefore, says the Mishnah, lo yitin loy lebenoy, don't give it to the Nigzal's son, and not to the Nigzal's messenger. You got to give it to him directly, even if it means traveling all the way to Madai to give it in his hands. You want to do tshuva. However, there is one eitzah, says the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to say on the Amud Beis, because some people will say, I stole from the guy $100. If I have to go round trip from here to Mudai, it's going to cost me $200. It's going to cost me more the expense, the car fare or the flight, the airfare, than the whole thing is worth. So therefore the Chum said, you know what, I'm a nice l'shliach bezin. You can deposit here with bezin, and we, the bezin, will hand it over to this fellow whenever he comes by. V'yemei, said, if the nigzal passes away, yachsel yorshim, then you have to go and give the money to the yorshim of the mess. Now, what happens also is a keren. You only handed over the keren. Well, you also is a chaymish, and you didn't give the chaymish. Do you have to go all the way to Madai for the chaymish? Instead of Nosan Loi, the Nigel said, I'm Moichel, you don't have to pay me the keren. But he wasn't Moichel on the Chaimish. Do you have to go all the way to Madai? Mochaloi Alzeh V'Alzeh. What happens if you're Moichel on both? The Nigel says, it happened a long time ago, forget about it, you don't have to pay me the keren, you don't have to pay me the Chaimish. Or, Chutz V'Pachas Shem V'Prut V'Keren. What happens if the whole theft was less than a shava pruta in the keren, the value of the keren? Then you don't have to go all the way to Madai. You only have to go to Madai if you owe him the keren, and the keren was more than a shava pruta. If you paid the keren already, or you moichel the keren, and you're only talking about the choymish, that you don't have to go all the way to Madai. And in fact, now the Mishnah tells us the reverse. Not only is the choymish, what happens if he paid off the choymish, that fifth? But not only is the keren, but he didn't pay off the keren yet. You don't have to give me the mechaymish. Just give me the keren. Play mochel el keren. I want the keren. Mochel alzeh v'alzeh. But it was chutz mishava pruta mekeren. He still owed him more than a shava pruta. Tzarech leilech achrav. Then he does have to go all the way to Madai, because this is what it said in the pasuk. Lasher hu loy yitnenu bi amishmasi. What's lasher hu loy? To whom the keren belongs, you got to give it loy to him. So even though he was moichel on the chaymish, or he paid him the chaymish, but you didn't pay the keren, you got to go all the way after the Madai, or, like the Mishnah said, you can leave it with the shliach bezdin midrabban.
In the Reisha, that last line, mochalo alzeb alzeh chusim yupachus mishavah pruta bekeren.
What happens if he's moichel him on the keren? He's moichel him on the chaymish.
Right.
The only thing he said, you know, but, you know, I want you to pay me at least a little bit. Give me a half a pruta.
Okay.
Then ain't a tzarech loy l'chacharav, because less than a pruta has no substance, has no chashivas. However, here in the end of the Mishnah,
right,
where he says, I'm moichel and everything, but I want you to give me back one penny, that shava pruta, then he has to go all the way to Madai to pay him back that shava pruta.
I understand. Forgive me, I understand. It feels like those two, the a conclusion of both of those, the zel zeh, seem to contradict each other. Just outside, say, what's the first part we're saying? The Nigzal says,
look at the beginning of the Mishnah. A goy zel chaveri shava pruta. If you steal a shava pruta,
right,
and you make a shmur,
right, right,
and then you moida, you got to go all the way to Madai.
Right, I'm just asking about the zel
zeh. I understand what you're asking. Right. The Mishnah at the end is now telling us what happens if there was a machila on the part of the Nigzal, and he said, just like you're doing tshuva, I'm moichel you, and Kodesh Baruch Hu should also be moichel you for your gzeilim, for making the full shvua.
Right, right.
I'm moichel you on the keren, and I'm moichel you on the chaymish. You don't have to give it back to me. Except, what's the exception? If the exception is a pruta or more, then he has to go all the way to Madai. If the exception was less than a pruta, then he does not have to go to Madai. Because whatever is left over is so inconsequential, insignificant.
Okay.
Well, it has no...
There's another benefit, because we know when by Kedushin, Shema Pruta B'Madai.
Okay.
So he goes there, he can find out whether it is a Shema Pruta, not
very
a Shema
good.
Pruta.
Very good.
So that was the first. Now the very last, Zeh Al Zeh.
The Gemara is repeating it twice, in both cases. The first case was, Mocheloi Al Zeh Val Zeh. He was Moichelim on the entire Karen, and in the entire Chaimish, with the exception of less than a Shema Pruta. Since this is so insignificant,
he
does not have to go later chacharif to Madai.
And
the second case was mochel al zeh v'al zeh chutz mishave pruta agansa pruta.
I see. The pachos. That's
the difference. That the pachos there and here it's chutz mishave pruta.
Okay.
That's tzarech later chacharif. He has to go after. Excuse me.
Thank you, Phil.
No problem. Okay. Not only is a keren. When am to be paid the keren? Finish v'lo el chaymish. This person, although he did tshuva, he didn't do a full tshuva. Meaning that, what was the original keren? The original keren was, let's say, $100. And now, if he wants to do tshuva, because he made a full shvua, and he made haidah, now he has to pay back a choymish. How much is a choymish? A fifth? So that's already machlokes with the barim by the gav. It's either he has to pay 120 or he has to pay 125. Right, because if he saves the fifth of the 100, it's 20. But if you look at Milabar, the whole thing back kol mikol kol, if you add 100 plus 25, it's 125. But fifth 125, it's 25. Okay, it's a machlokes, but that's not negia to us. The point is that the 100 he paid him, and the other hand, where's the chaimish? I paid you already the chaimish. When did you pay me the chaimish? Don't you remember? And he made a shvur. I paid you already the chaimish. And it turns out that he was talking falsehood. So now the chaimish becomes like the new keren. And therefore you're going to have to add a chaimish on that chaimish. When afterwards it's moid the mitzvah, so pay the chaimish plus a chaimish. So assuming you were just talking about a simple fifth, originally it was 25, and now we'll have to give back 30. 25 plus 5 is a fifth of the 25. Okay. Zayikit. Here's a mishalim chaimish al chaimish. Now, what's the reason why you have to add a chaimish to chaimish? Because our mission doesn't go into it. I assume we'll have it tomorrow or the next day. It says in the pasuk, "Vachamishi sav Yosef olav." Where is that in the pasuk? And that pasuk 3 of the Torah Ora Shalem. He made a false shvur. Vishilam oisav b'roisha. He has to go and pay the keren. Vachamishi sav. Why chaimish sub? To tell you that you can have chaimish upon chaimish upon chaimish until the amount that you're paying is less than a shavu pruta. So, continuing back to our Mishnah, as a mishalm chaimish al chaimish, achi yismayra keren mi shavu pruta. So, what would be a simple case? We start off, the original keren was 100. Just to make life easy, he had to pay 125 for the chaimish. Now, he denied and he made a shvu about the chaimish. And then he was moed misvada. So what he has to do now, he has to pay a chaimish on that chaimish. A chaimish of 25, let's just say, is 5. So he has to pay him back 30. What happens? He pays him back the 25, but now he denies and he makes a shvua vis-a-vis the 5. Okay, so now he has to go and pay the 5 together with a fifth of the 5. What's a fifth of the 5? One more. Ooh, one. Now what happens the next time? He swears about the 1. So now he's going to have to pay. Once we get down, let's assume the 1 is a pruta. Now the fifth of a pruta will be a fifth of a shava pruta. That's less than a pruta. So from that point on, you don't have to give more because you don't have to pay the chaimish. It's only until the shava pruta.
And he has to bring a chatas for each of these.
Not a chatas. Exactly right. Every time, what happens to a person is a serial thief.
And false swear.
Exactly. So he has to go in each time to as a kapara. Is an atonement.
Ultimately, you don't have to plead the fifth anymore.
You don't have to plead the fifth, exactly. Sometimes you'll be pleading the sixth.
The fifth, not plead the fifth.
Exactly. Very good. The Olam is Baruch Hashem, very witty today. Anyway, so the Mishnah tells us further that although we've been talking about a massive gzeila, it's really not only gzeila. Same thing applies to pikkudin. In other words, you left the pikkudin with Yankel. Yankel, give me back my pikkudin. What pikkudin? I don't know what you're talking about. You remember, I give it, but I don't remember anything. And then afterwards, he's moed a misvada, and then he has to pay it by the keren, but the choymish and the korban asham gzeles. It says in the posik, oy pikkudin. So now if you look at the Torah or Sholem, ois one. Nefesh kisechta moalim ba mashem. V'chichesh ba misoy, and he denied the pikkudin. I don't know you pikkudin. Oy, b'sumasyod. Sumasyod means a loan. You didn't lend him any money. Oy, v'gozalu, he stole, like our Mishnah. Oy, oshekes amisoy. Or he didn't pay the wages to his employee. The next pasuk, oy, matza aveda. You found my aveda. What are you talking about? I didn't find the aveda. I don't know what you're talking about. V'chichishba, and he was makish. V'nishba al shok, and then afterwards he makes a shvua sheker. Al achas mikola shiyasa odom lach behena. With regard to any of these foregoing, whether it's a pikkudin, whether it's a loan, whether it's a gezel, whether it's an aveda, whether it's employees' wages. Next, pasuk gimel, I mean, kol sheishov lo hasheker, any one of these he made a sheker, and then he's moida, v'shilam oisa b'roish, you have to pay the keren, v'chamishisav, and you add the choymish, and then you have to be yom hashmos, so you're going to have to bring a korban asham. This pasuk doesn't talk about, but the next pasuk says, v'shashom yabil hashem, keves, etc. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, so the same thing applies. Because shenem, because nebisim, because the osher semisa, oy matzavein v'chichesh b'avnishba shoker, and all of these are in the mishalim keren v'chaimish, and you have to bring a korban asham gizelus. Fine. Zog the Gemara. Our Mishnah said a number of times the nishbalai, right? He made it here at the end the nishbal shoker in the very beginning of the Mishnah goes to chaveroi the nishbalai. He made a false shvur. So dafke shvur in linish baloi. So l'chayle mani, I'm sorry, linish baloi. Mani, who's our Mishnah? Later b'tarvin v'loy Rabbi Kiva. The Mishnah l'chayle is not like Rabbi Tarvin, not like Rabbi Kiva. Now remember, one of the major parts of our Mishnah is, one of the major points of the Mishnah is, that if you in fact made such a false shvua and then you were moida, that you have to go all the way to Modai to pay him off. That's neither Rabbi Tafin nor Rabbi Kiva. Why? Decide with him, then raise him. Gozel echad mechamish, a person stole from five people. Ve'ini yedea, le'et me'ez amen. He doesn't know from who he went and stole. He doesn't remember. V'chol echad mechad oimer, o yisi gozel. He wants to go and be a good guy. It's Elul time. He comes now to Besmedesh. He says, Raboisai, you know that I have a checkered past, and in the past I was a gozlan, and I want to make amends. And I spoke to the Reuven, to the Rebbe, and they all told me this would be an opportune time to go and make amends and pay back the Gzela. Please, here in Besmedesh, remind me, who did I steal $100 from? Five people raised their hands. So now the question is, he only stole once, he didn't steal five times. So those people are a little
shifty.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of community is this?
That's community. That's how he became a gozlan. Anyway, he can go into Bez and he says, Raboisai, I don't know who I stole from. I only stole from one of you. Here's $100, Bezin. You take care of it. Figure out. You adjudicate. I paid off. I gave back the $100. You'll figure it out. Umistalik, leave it up. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Loizu, Derek Mitzos, Midei Aveira. You want to get atonement for your sins? That's not the way you do it. He has to go and pay everybody the full $100. Even though he only stole $100, he's going to have to pay $500. Crime does not pay. Or in this case, he has to do pay. He has to pay a lot. Exactly. So Zok Dimar, Mani, who's our Mishnah? Ereb Tarfin. Ereb Tarfin says that you only have to put down the $100 and leave. Avagav the Ishtaba. Now, this Braisa that we just learned, Desanya, didn't mention a word about Yoshvu and Nishvu. And therefore the Gemara assumes that it's talking about in all cases, both that he made a shvur, the Gazlan made a shvur, a false shvur, or even if he didn't make a false shvur. It makes no difference. As far as Reb Tarfin, you just pay once, you put the money down and you run. According to Reb Akiva, you have to pay each one.
Could the Beis Din make all five claimants take a shvur?
Our Gemara doesn't go into what the Beis Din will do at this point. Perhaps there are other Gemaras that will say, now that we have five people that are contending that the money is theirs, can any of you bring Edom that this money was yours? If you have, then this guy will win, the other guys will lose. If you don't have any Edom, maybe we'll ask them to go make a shvur and see. But Agmar doesn't go into that. Yes,
maybe cut the $100 in fives.
Maybe they'll say, since we don't know, which is a moment of suffering.
Solomon-esque approach.
Exactly.
A Simchas-esque
approach. Yes, beautiful. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Mani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't have any name. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Ereb Tarfin, Afagav the Ishtaba, Omer Menich Gzel Benehem Mestalek. This Brisa says that even the case that he made a Shavuah, the Brisa doesn't mention Shavuah, but we're assuming that's both Yoshua and Ishua, makes no difference. Ereb Tarfin says, even though he made a false Shavuah, he does not have to go to Modai. He doesn't have to then loy to that individual. He doesn't even have to make full amends. He just put down $100 in your yoitzer. But obviously, that's not like our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you got to pay the full amount and take him all the way to Mother. You know, it can't be your time. Ereb Akiva, Avagav the loyish rabba, since his price, it doesn't mention it, so apparently, even if he didn't make a shvua, Omrat Shishalim Gzeil Cholecha V'yecha, that you have to make sure that each one gets the full amount. But our Mishnah is only talking about a case, Mitha shvua. And the price is saying, even on a Shavua, says Rabbi Kiva. Says, Rabbi Kiva. Really, the mission goes according to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, Shishalim. In fact, although the price is silent, that's what we mean. You have to add another word in parentheses. When you start off, and he had originally made, after the Gzela, a Shavua, that I don't owe anybody, and I didn't steal anything, and now he wants to make amends. Oh, in the case of Ishtaba, then he has to pay every one of them. He's going to have to give each one the $100 plus a choymish, and they have to bring a korban asham because, unfortunately, he stole
one korban asham.
Yeah,
one korban asham because he only made one gzeila, and he only made one full shvua.
How can he make a full shvua if he doesn't know who he stole it from? Like, is the shvua have to say, "I stole it from"?
The police took the guy into Bezin and said, you were a Goslin, we have an Edom that say you were a Goslin. Mm-hmm. He said those Edom are themselves false criminals, they're false, and I here solemnly swear I never stole a penny in my life.
Doesn't have to specify the victim, okay.
Exactly.
It's only one type of Avera.
Only one type of Avera.
So it's only one.
One Shvuah.
One Shvuah, and one carbon, etc. Good, anyway, getting back to Zukti Yimora, so that's the Svara of Rabbi Kiva, that's the Halach of Rabbi Kiva, both in our Mishnah, where we talk about the Shvuah, and this Braisa, even though the Braisa was silent, is talking about the Shvuah, and says, Rabbi Kiva, you have to give it to a Kol, Echad V'Echad, and our Mishnah says, even if you have to go all the way to Matai. Zukti Yimora, V'chicham Rabbi Kiva, Chichal, Hechad Yishtam, Behudi Kamer. My time of where does he get this from? The Yomakro, because it says in the pasuk, La'asher hu loy, the one that really owned the money, Yitnena b'yashamash masai. You have to give it to him, otherwise you don't get a kapara, even with 12 karbonais, osham gzeilais. You gotta give La'asher hu loy, the nixel, you gotta give him back his money. Even if it means giving back five people their money, because I don't know.
But then that's not asher hu loy, because four of those people are not the ones that stole.
I mean, that's
a gift.
Stolen from.
Right.
Too bad. That's a gift. He's giving to them just to cover for insurance.
But if he gives all five, then one
he's
of them
certainly
is covered. For sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? He's going over and beyond because I don't know which one it is. You want to get your kapara? You have to give everybody. Baruch Hashem, the only five people would have the 10 people would raise their hands. Then it would really be costly.
Asher Hemlo.
Asher Hemlo, yeah. But it's Einish Alehem. It's not them. It's only one. Okay, very good. So, L'choyer, very good, so that's Pshat. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Kiva. Pray to Rabbi Tarfin. If you're now saying that the Brice is talking about a case with a Shvuah, what does Rabbi Tarfin hold? Havagav Dishtaba, Ovid Rabbonin Tekanta. Why does Rabbi Tarfin say that you don't have to pay to each one of them? L'choyer, have a Pasuk, Vashir Huloi, Yitnanu, you have to give it to him. You want to go and get your Kapara, you got to give it to him. And you're only putting it down on the table. So, Rabbi Tarfin, Min HaToyr, I agree with you. But the Rabbanan made a special takana at takana seshavim. Desanya, where do we find that the Chum made a takana in this arena? Desanya, Rabbi Elazar bereb tzadik oimer, and now we refer to our Mishnah. Takana gedoy lehiskinu, shem hoysa hoytso, yaseir ala ker. What happens if the airfare to get to Modai is greater than the amount of the theft in the first place? Mishalim keren, mechoymish lebezdin. You go, instead of having to go all the way to Modai, sending a messenger, you just give it here to the Bezin, and they'll hold on to the money on behalf of the Nigzal. Umevi Ashamai, he bring the carbon Ashim in his kapal, and he has his kapar. So therefore, says Rav Tarfin, just like they made that takana seshavim, in my case, when there were five potential
claimants?
Well, not payments.
Claimants.
Claimants, that's the right word, the five claimants. Says Rav Tarfin, the Chacham made a takana there too, that you don't have to pay five times, because otherwise that would discourage anybody that wanted to go and do tshuva. You tell them that I have to pay $500 for $100, it's maybe next year we'll do tshuva. This year I'm not doing tshuva. Next year we'll see what happens next year, but this year. So therefore, just like they made that takana, they made this takana. That's what Rav Tarfin says. So Rav Tarfin has a point, because after all, even Rav Akiva agrees to that takana, because Rav Akiva is a tan of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that you can give it to the Shmeir Bezdin. So what does Rabbi Kiva say? Rabbi Kiva, ki ovid abanat akant eichad yod leman gazlei tekamahadlei mamoina lemore. In a case where we know there's an identifiable victim, an identifiable nigzal that he wants to pay, just doesn't want to travel to Madai, the Chum said, okay, we will be the shliach on behalf of this individual to makayim v'asher huloi, you give it to us. Because we don't know from whom he stole the money. If you're just going to put it on the table, the real victim may not get his money. And therefore, he won't have the kapar of l'asher huloi. That's why you have to give to every one of the five to be sure that you give l'asher huloi. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva is distinguishing between one form of takana and the other form of takana. Frank Dimariyat, you just told me the pshat in the Mishnah is like Rabbi Kiva, Masar Ravuna Bar Yehuda, Omer Reb Shimon Ben Lozer. Lenech Lekor Reb Tarfin, Rabbi Kiva, Al Shalokach Echon Mechamisha Ben Yedeh Me'ezim En Lokach. Now we have a parallel situation, not involving Gzela, but rather you have someone that went to the marketplace when there was the Yom Hashuk, like you have Yom HaShuk, typically Mondays and Thursdays, and that week they were selling Kisna or whatever, and someone bought Kisna from one of five competitors who was selling Kisna. I'm just throwing out Kisna as an example. And he said, I'm going to pay you. And now it's a week later, the next market, and now he says, okay, who's the one that sold me the Kisna? I want to pay him. You gave me credit. I'm very appreciative. Who's the one that I paid $100 to? Once again, five people raised their hand and said, we were the ones that sold you the Kisna. What happens now? He doesn't remember from whom he took. Remember, he didn't steal. It was totally legit. He bought Kisna and he wants to know who should give the money to. Everybody agrees in this case, since it's not a gzela. In fact, if anything, they are making a gzela against him, right? The four out of the five. Shemaniach the Meimeka, Meinim, Mestal, just put the money on the table and you go home and let them five fight it out in Bezdin as to who gets the money. Amanech goes, so where is the machlokes? She goes, Echad mechamish b'nei Adam. Someone stole from five, a gzela, like the Braisa. Many of them is when Gozal, he doesn't remember from whom he stole. Put the money down on the table. So that's very similar to the Braisa here on top. So what's the cash? Since we said that although the first Braisa didn't mention it, but it means with a shvur, because otherwise Rabbi Kiva wouldn't require him to go and pay each and every individual. It's only because he made a shvur. Then afterwards he was moida. Then we get into this parish of the Asham Gzeilois, La Asher Hu Loi Yitnenu Biyamashma, so you have to give it to that individual. If you're telling me that he made a full shvur, so not only did he make a full shvur in the Gzeila part of the Braisa, presumably he made a full shvur in the Mekach part of the Braisa as well.
What type of shvur did he make? He comes
to the shuk and the people say, hey, mister, you owe us $100. What $100? Don't you remember last week about Kisna? I don't even know what Kisna is. I mean, is it flax? Is it linen? I don't know what you're talking about. So he denied it. And they took him to Bezin.
Okay.
And the Bezin made a shvur. I don't know.
So it is a gazela.
It wasn't initially. Initially it was.
It's a Mekach that became a gazela. Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
Frank DeMore, if you're superimposing both on the earlier price and then now on this price, that it's all talking about shvur, because if you tell me the Lekicha is without a shvur and the gzela is with a shvur, then you're comparing apples and oranges. So since we're trying to go and say, Loi Shonu, where's the machloik is only by the gzela and not by the Lekicha, but otherwise all the other facts are the same. The amount and the kisna and everything else is all the same. So therefore there was a shvur in both cases. The Freitimora Isol Kedaitach, the Ishtaba, Mali Lokach, Mali Gozal. Because Rashi says that the reason why you have to go and pay the Keren with the Choymish and the Oshim is to go and get a Kapora, not only for the Gzela, but for the full Shvur. No, Oibazoi, so both cases talk about a full Shvur. So Oibazoi, by the Lekicha, also you should have to go and give the Kol Echad V'Echad. V'Yoid. Nochakash. Mosiv Rava, Maisiv Chosid Echad. That's the famous Gemara that you always quote.
Yes.
There was a famous story about a chosid echad. Who's that chosid? We'll see in a moment. Shelokach mishnei b'nei adam. He bought from one out of two people, kisna or whatever. Lo yidei me'ezim alokach. He didn't remember which one. So Baruch Hashem was only two instead of five. Ubal of Rav Tavri, he comes from Rav Tavri. Omaloi. Rav Tavri, what should I do? I don't want to pay twice. Hanach the mimekach b'nei m'listali. Go and put the money down on the table and sayonara and you can leave. You're going to have to pay each one individually. Now, before we continue, Rashi points out that this new Braisa that we just quoted of Rava argues with the prior Braisa, because the prior Braisa said that when it comes to Lokach Echa Mechamisha, Loi Nechleku Reb Tarf and Reb Akiva, both of them said just put the money down on the table and leave. Here, according to this price, even by Lekicha, even by Emeka, you still have a machloek between Reb Akiva and Reb Tarf. Okay, so Timori had Bisolka Daitach de Mishtaba. So we said before that the machloek is at the top, both in our Mishnah, Reb Akiva is talking about with the Shvur. The machloek between Reb Tarf and Reb Akiva and the earlier Braisa with the Shvur. The one with now with the Mekach and the Gzela out with the Shvur, with the Shvur, with the Shvur. So if you're telling me it's talking about a Shvur, Bisolka Daitach de Mishtaba, Chosid mi Mishtaba b'shikra, could a Chosid, the Gemara calls him a Hu Chosid, could he be a person, Chas V'Sholom, accused of making a Shvur b'sheker? Avad anisht. And therefore this whole case scenario must be talking about that there was no shvua, and yet I see that there's a machloek to be between Reb Tarfon and Reb Akiva fell on a shvua. Maybe originally he was not such a great chassid, and he made a shvua l'sheker, and then after that he did tshuva, and he became a chassid mamish from the grest of chassidim. Wherever you find the Rav Shas, Ma'is v'chassid echad, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Biloy, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Biloy, chassidim demikar abba. When they were children, when they were already 3 years old, everybody recognized that these are going to be tzaddiki hador and grace of chassidim and grace of tzaddik. So, Ibazoi, obviously this case is talking about without a shvur. If it's talking about without a shvur, so I see that the machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Reb Tarfon is even without the shvur. And not like you said before, that our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva and it's talking dafka. Mita shvur. Says Imar, you made a good point. Ela oilin Reb Tarfon. Really, forget about the first answer that I gave. Our Mishnah goes according to Reb Tarfon. Ooh, but didn't Reb Tarfon say just put the money down on the table and run for the hilt? Meniach zela umistalik. Umayin Reb Tarfon echen nishtaba. The machloikis in the brisa before and this brisa and that brisa all talking about sans shvua. No shvua was made. But Tarfon says, just put it down on the table and leave. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, you got to go and pay each and every one of them. That's all talking about without a shvua. But where there is a shvua, even Rabbi Tarfon says, of course I agree with a shvua. My time with the Yamakra, the posse that we quoted before. But you want to get a full kapara with a Korban Asham Gzeles, Lashu Loyin, and Abiyam Shmos, a Vadi you have to hand it to. And if the person is not around, you have to take it to Madai. And if the earfur is too expensive, then you leave it with a Shliach Bezin because of that Takana. So our mission, in fact, is now going according to Reb Tarfon. And it's talking about Mitashwa. Freyti Mora, now based on what we just said, we said that even in this Braisa, where Reb Kiva kept on saying, no, 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 that's not the way you go and do atonement. You have to give each one separate. What was the lashon of Rabbi Kiva? Lo derech moitziyosim idei avera. You want to do tshuva? Achiyishalim zeilachol echad biyachad. Where does Rabbi Kiva take this from? If it's talking about without a shvua, he only stole once. Why should he have to go and pay five times? Rabbi Kiva avagav lo mishtam akonis. Rabbi Kiva says it's midrabanan mina toira avada. Since it was no shvua, you could just put it down and let the five claimants work it out with the bezin. However, since we person wants to do tshuva, the chacham said, even without a shvua, we put a knas on the fellow, pay, we call echad the echad, if you want to be fully wiped out with your sins. You want to wipe out your sins. From Tarfon, mechdi hech the mishtaba, lisagid lehoida, my ear of yinishba, afilu b'lo shvua nami. To have the chiev of bringing your asham gzeles, and having to give the keren mit achoymish, with an asham, it's not enough that you made a full shvua, you also have to have made a hoidah. Hoidah meaning, as opposed to having a confession, as opposed to having two edim that come and say, your shvua was false. Where do I know that you have to have hoidah? So the last Rashi reminds us that that's one of the ingredients in the Korban Hashem Gzeilos. Look at the last Rashi. L'sagid lo hoidah. T'kapara v'yishov in dekra a hoidah ksib. It's talking about that he was moidu misvada. Ah, so therefore, to be chayiv, to pay lechol echad v'echad, is not enough that you made a full shvur, but he also has to be moidu. So Dr. Yimara, Reb Tarfon, mechti, heichad mishtaba, loisagya, you're not going to have the chayiv to go and bring your asham gzeilus and give every one of the five. Only what case? Not only that he made a shvua, but also he had to have had a hoida, mishtabin leisagid lehoida, with shvua alone, without hoida, it doesn't work. So my area of an ishba, what do you have to say that our Mishnah is going to Reb Tarfon? Let's talk about mita shvua. We find Reb Tarfon elsewhere, that even if he didn't make a shvua, he just made a hoida, then he has to go and pay. The sanya, moid Reb Tarfon, even though I Reb Tarfon said before, just put down the money and mistalik. But Oimelishnaim, it says two people. Gazalti Ech Mikem, one of the Ainia Dev, Ez Mikem. I stole from one of you, I just don't remember which one. No, he's Lazem Mana, Lazem Mana. Why should Kvar Hoidim be Hatsu? Because he was Moide. The top Rashi says, it's not a Chiev in the Torah by Bnei Adam. It's only Lotzes Yedei Shemoyim. Even though the Bezim could not force him to do it, because Reb Tarfon, remember, said,
give it to the judge and let them figure it out.
Exactly. Put it on the table and mistalik. Right. However, if he's moid b'pi atzmoi, to be Yotzi de Shemoyim, he has to go and give each one individually. And therefore, that being the case, why do you have to go and say that Amish is talking about Metashvua? Even without a Shvua, according to Reb Tarfin, you'd have to go and if he's Moide.
Right.
And remember, for Hashem Gzils, you have to avoid Dor, because the Pasuk is Vado, it has to be a confession. So if he's confessing that I owe one of you two guys and I don't remember, so you don't even need the Shvua, just the Hoidor, this Vidu should be enough, the confession. Elamarava! Rava says, I have a third pshat in the Mishnah. Remember, the first pshat was, it goes according to Rabbi Akiva. Second pshat, it goes according to Tarfin. The Elamarava, the Mishnah goes, Divrei HaKoyl. See, look at Rashi, Elamarava, third line. Masis Divrei HaKoyli. V'loidamya li'ein yoidea. Tohosam bein nishba, bein loj nishba. Who the pligger of Tarfin Rabbi Akiva? Like we learned initially, the machloi between Rabbi Tarfin Rabbi Akiva is talking about Sai Yoshua, Sai Nishwa. But that in that case, he didn't know to whom from whom he had stolen. So Rabbi Tarfin says, if I don't know, you put it down on the table. According to Rabbi Akiva, you have to pay the kolecha, the echad. However, in our case, he knows who he stole right. from. And he was moided to him. Since he is able to and he knows who the person is, it's as if he told the Nigzal, I want you to know I have the money and I'm going to hold it on your behalf as a pikadon until you're ready to pick it up and I'll be happy to give the money back to you. Says now the Gemara, Hilkach. Nishba, if he makes a full shvua, in addition to the hoidah, even though he said, I'm holding the money for you as a pikadon, you can come pick it up, since he made a full shvua, and he has to have kapara of the asham gezelois, then he has to go and not just hold the pikadon on his behalf, but he has to go and take it all the way to Madai, or midraban, he can hand it over to the shliach bezdin. However, if he did not make a full tshuva, but he is moide, that's what the Gemara said, if he made just haido alone, that I stole it from you, what's then have the kabek pikon? Now is a pikon that he holds on to, until the nigzel comes to him and takes back his pikodoin. So he had three pshatim in the Mishnah, first pshat that goes according to Akiva, second pshat that goes according to Tarfin, and the final pshat of Rav, it goes really according to everybody. What's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The Braisa is talking about Yoshua and Nishvua, but there he didn't know who the Nigzal is. In such a case, as Rav Tarfin just put on the table, Rabbi Akiva says, you have to give everybody individually. But our Mishnah is talking about that he knows who the guy is.
And the guy's in Modai.
And he's in Modai. So if he did not make a Shvua, he's chayv to go and pay him, like Rav Tarfin said in the bottom of the oven. If he's Moida, he has to go and pay him back. But then he tells him, I'm not going to go to Modai, I'm going to hold it for you as a pikadon. Come and pick it up whenever you're ready. However, if he made a full shvur to go and get the kapara, he has to go all the way to Madai to return it lashulai. He then be ashmasai, except kun midrabanan, you can go and deposit here with the shliach.
Yeah,